1 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you go there? 1 Corinthians 3, entitled it, Doing My Part. Doing My Part. What is my part in this local church? And as a child of God, what should I be doing? And how should I be doing it? And I want to do it the best I can, but I want to do it God's way, and I want to be doing what He wants me to do. And I want to be involved in all of that, make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And not what man tells me to do or what man expects me to do, but what He wants me to do. Now, what's my part? Paul lays out a little bit of this to the church at Corinth, and I'm sure you know this portion. We read it about a month or so ago in another message, but he brings it out. Notice verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3, 5. He starts out the chapter with, you recall, being fed with milk and not meat because you're too immature. And he says, verse 5, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers, notice, together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. God does the building. And I love that verse, and underline it and circle it, whatever you are. Verse 9, we're laborers together with God. He doesn't leave us out there high and dry, does he? He wants us to labor together with Him. And that's so vital, but my part. Now, it helps to step back often and take a look at the big picture, if you will, of what God is doing. We know this. We see it in the book of Acts. No, it says Acts 15:14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And so coming back, he looked back, if you will, giving a census or an overview of what's going on. And looking through at some of this, not long after the resurrection of Christ and His ascension back to heaven, He sent Simon Peter to the house of Cornelius. He was a Gentile to tell them how to be saved. This was a shock to Peter, but he obeyed, and Cornelius and many in his household were saved. So just take a step back. Sometimes if you're like me and like Peter, we get on a one-track mind. You know, we got to do it this way, and this is how we do it. It's what God wants us to do. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit came and spoke, and the Lord Himself spoke and told Peter, Peter, go over to this house, Cornelius, and share the gospel with him. Peter said, oh, no, Lord. I know you're trying to test me. You're trying to test me. I have never eaten anything unclean. And he says, I'm not testing you, Peter. I'm telling you what to do, right? And he goes over and does that. But just taking a step back and assessing the situation, the Lord commissioned Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles later. We know that, Romans 11. Since that time, God's primary work in the world has been the salvation of Gentiles. Some Jews are being saved. We know that. But it is mostly Gentiles who are coming to Christ. God is not at this time setting up His kingdom, but calling out a people for His name and forming a body of Christ, many of which are the Gentile nation. The question is our part. What do we do and how are we doing it? What is our part in this work? Now, as our text says, our part is to plant and to water. It's God's part to make the seed grow and save the soul. Save the soul. We're to plant, we're to water. So again, looking at the labor that's there, planting and watering. The farmer goes out and plants and waters, but he cannot make it grow, can he? You know, you and I do that. We sometimes plant and water, but we try and make it grow, and it doesn't happen. Well, Lord, it's got to grow. You've got to do it this way. We want this, and right now we're in a little bit of that. Lord, You've got to answer our prayer and show us what to do. We've got to be careful. Keep planting and watering. Let God do that. Now, my part, my part. Our part is to water, plant. Our part also is to witness to the lost. You know that. As we read throughout the New Testament, in particular the book of Acts, they were given great power and they went forth and they spread the gospel. How can we be most effective then? And how can we continue in our duty and not quit and do our part? Several things here, just here. First of all, we need the right perspective. Notice what he says in verse 9, we're laborers together with God. This is God's work. We're His instruments. We're His vessels. We are what God has to use, if you will. Now, you know in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 in particular, there's some mention of how can God use something like me or a vessel like me? All-powerful, perfect, holy God wants to use me. right? Wants to use you. That's an amazing thing, but we have to accept it and understand it. Say, God, I want to be used. I believe so many people are so caught up in themselves, so self-degrading in things. Oh, I can't do it. God won't use me. I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. And God is trying to say, if you just hush up for a minute, I'd use you, right? Stop that and let me have what you have, your body, your mind, everything. Let me use you. God's work. We're his instruments. We need the right perspective. It's vital to his plan to know that. What does he want from me? This is a matter of simply telling the truth. A witness is one who tells what he knows. He doesn't tell what the hearsay or an opinion, one who simply gives the facts as he knows them to be true. He's a witness. The blind man whom Jesus healed, we saw that. John 9:25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, though, whereas I was blind, now I see. He states the facts. I like that guy. He says, fellas, you know what? I could really care less, really. Listen, I was blind and now I see. That's what matters to me. And you see this. He was, if you will, simply telling the truth of what he is. The right perspective. Being the right instrument for him. He goes on that man, you know, later to share the gospel and reach many people. The Samaritan women did the same. Samaritan woman met Jesus at the well. Notice it says many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, there being a witness, he told me all that I ever did, all that I ever did. The demon at Gadara, we know that, went through. He said, let me go with you, basically. And he says, no, go home and tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee, Mark 5:19-20. So just thinking about here again, the right perspective of what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do is being the instrument for God, plant and water. Be laborers together with God. Jesus Christ never once told anybody in the New Testament, now that you know me, or now that you're healed, to go back home and relax and wait for my coming, the second coming. Not once did he. In fact, you see it in Revelation. I'm reading through Revelation right now, and I got through the first four chapters, and in particular speaking to the churches. And he doesn't tell the churches, now that I've rebuked you, go ahead and rest and relax. I know. No, what's he say? Repent and do what? The first works. Go back and do what you're supposed to be doing. Just thinking about that. God, the Lord, desires for us to be laborers together. That word laborer is not mistranslated. That's what it means. The Greek word is the exact word. To labor intensively with God. You're God's husbandry, you're God's building. And so thinking through it. Now, secondly, we need not only the right perspective, we need the right and high motivation. High motivation. Thinking about just reaching folks and doing our part, Proverbs 14:29, a true witness delivereth souls. Delivers souls. Many obstacles come our way. Fear is probably the greatest of those obstacles. We're not alone in this. We know that. Acts 18:9, that spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak. Now this is Paul, seasoned Paul. He's already shared the gospel with thousands of people. He's planted handfuls of churches already. And the Holy Spirit comes again to the Lord and tells him, don't be afraid. Speak, hold not thy peace. I'm with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. We need a right motivation. A motivation that will sustain us. Sustain us. Too many frauds and fakes today in Christianity, aren't there? They're like a firecracker. They go up, boom, and everyone's in awe and wonder, and they quickly dissipate. There's nothing left. Instead, we need more of those lamp or flashlight type Christians. They are consistent and stay on. Now, as we think about this, number one, the right motivation is not to impress people. It's to impress God, if you will. As we said today, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We know that. We honor him. We honor his word. So we reach others. It's a very low motive and will probably not earn us much reward for us in heaven. Matthew 6:1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. This motive of, if you will, impressing people will not sustain us very long. And you know that from experience, I'm sure. Trying to impress people, trying to get people stirred up. You're just not going to do it. I mean, you could have the greatest activity at church in the world and invest $10,000. It's like pulling teeth to get people, isn't it? I mean, you think about it. Even trying to impress your children or maybe a spouse or something or a friend, it's difficult to do. People are finicky and they fail, and we know they're finite beings and they're sinful. Jesus said, keep your eyes on me. Paul says, listen, you folks have been so concentrated on me and Apollos, and you've taken sides in the church, and you said, well, I'm with Paul, I'm Apollos, and we're better than you. Paul says, you're fools. You're unwise. He says, we're nothing. We're nothing. We are just God's laborers together with you. With you. Not to impress people. We need a high motivation. Another one is to obey the Lord's command, simply put. A motivation. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know that. The Great Commission given, this is good. Certainly, we know the place to begin. We must keep this before us always, doing the work. Sometimes we think about it. Out of duty sometimes. If we sometimes have a heart or a great compassion for people. But that often wanes, doesn't it? Our compassion for people. And it may come back to a duty. I do this out of duty. I want to obey God's command. This is a motivation. Following Him. Now notice verse number 10, if you will. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed. Notice how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul says, listen, I have a great responsibility, and I've taken and I've put my stewardship in place, and I want to build upon. I want to be faithful in that. And Jesus Christ has commanded us to do so. So it's not to impress other people, it's to obey God's command. It's a love and compassion again for the lost. We're indebted to the lost people around us. We want our loved ones and friends to be saved. We see that, know that. You know, we think about all the people around us and the people that we know. We desire greatly to see them saved. We desire. But we can't force them to get saved. Isn't that the hard part? So hard. I wish you could. I wish I could. I wish I could just go and tell them, hey, I wanted to let you know that I prayed for you last night and you will be saved this morning. Just get ready for it. You know, get ready because you're going to have this great experience. It doesn't work that way. We pray for people and we ask them and we say, well, you know, I've asked you 15 times and I know you're going to get upset with me again, but you thought about your salvation. You know, they don't want to hear it. They just don't want. And the sad part is that most people today, many people, I should say, believe they are saved and they're not saved. That's the hardest people to reach, isn't it? They say, oh, I'm saved. I got saved when I was younger and I went to a meeting and I grew up in church and doubt it. But you know they're not saved. So thinking through, we got to have a compassion as Jesus had. You know that. Easy to say, hard to do. It's a high and noble motivation. But as we know, sometimes family and friends turn on us. Loved ones will turn on us. They do not want what we have. This is very discouraging and causes us to want to give up. It will not always sustain us, will it? You have love and compassion to see them saved, but they may turn on you. They don't want what you have. They see it as low. They see it as a wasted life. But you know the high motivation. Am I doing my part tonight? Doing my part. What's my motivation? Paul tells this church, hey, it's not looking at me or Apollos. It's not looking at us and seeing what we have. It's you looking at Christ and knowing you're a laborer together. And what are you building on that foundation? Many loved ones. The Lord's love and concern for the lost. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The constraining love of Christ for us. This is the highest and will sustain us no matter what happens. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep them. So we think about that. The motivation, right? The right perspective. Let me say thirdly, we must maintain a good testimony. Now that's clear. Our testimony is perhaps our most valuable asset in this work. It is what others see us to be. It is fragile, often frail, and can be greatly damaged in a moment of carelessness. A bad testimony will nullify our witness. We know that. Nullify our witness. I'm so thankful to read through the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. But the testimony of these men, these are great saints of the past. I'm in the Old Testament reading through 1 Kings right now. And Solomon, and I got through the first handful of six chapters, and you read all of that. all that Solomon did and all how great he was, and he went through, and I think it was chapter 8 that I just read. It's a long chapter, but it's about Solomon's prayer as he's dedicating the temple. You remember that? Just this long chapter. Well, just two chapters later, what does it say? But Solomon loved many strange women. Testimony blown. He was still saved. Loved the Lord, but he blew it. He blew it. And you know the rest of the story of his life. The story went out throughout all the world, and they said, oh, great riches as Solomon, great wisdom like Solomon. But he failed, and everyone knew that. And he had a lot of trouble in that. But maintaining a good testimony, that's my part. Have the right motivation. Have the right perspective. Our talk talks, you know that. Our walk talks louder than our talk talks. A good testimony is maintained by taking care of the little things. Little things. Little things in life. It's so often difficult, but those little things. Would you go with me to Romans 12 here? Again, Romans 12. And in Romans 12, he makes mention here. Romans 12, notice we read through the beginning portion several weeks ago, but he says in verse 17, notice, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. as much as lying in you, right? But he says, provide things honest in the sight of men, and know that they're watching and all of that. And then he says, if it's possible, as much as you can, much like live peaceably with all men. It's going to be difficult and challenging, but if you can, put forth the effort. Notice that. Just thinking through here. It's maintained by taking care of the little things. Understanding that. Obeying the law. 1 Peter 2. We've read that before, but you know, obeying the law. Following through. Doing as much as you can. Now again, you know, follow the law as long as you can until it starts to impede upon and divides you between you and the Word of God. You know that. Starts telling you, you cannot follow the Bible, you can't do that. Then we do what? I'd rather obey God rather than men. But we follow the law. We can follow the law. Abstain from all appearance of evil, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of it. There's a testimony there. Being cautious and careful. We must maintain these things and thinking about it. Now, let me say fourthly, we must be wise in our methods. Our methods. How we do it, what we do. Now, we're laborers together with God. He says to us, as he said to Paul, I am with thee, as he said in Acts 18. In each situation, we must allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. He knows the person and what will work best with each person by way of seeking, reaching other people for Christ. But doing my part. And he makes mention to the church at Corinth. That church was divided. That church was having many problems. Very fragile church. He told them, come back to the first works. Come back, as he said in the church in Revelation. Come back to the first works. I see all that you're doing in church at Ephesus. I see all your hard work and labor, all your intensive work, all your love and passion. How you can't stand those. You've tried those that have come into the church. Said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? They said, yes, but you tried them and found them to be liars. You got rid of them. All you've done, he says. But he says, I found something. You've lost your first love. Come back to it. Do the first works. Now, he says here, many verses, but Colossians 4, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. God's goodness leads men to repentance, and we know that. We must be wise in our methods, with meekness and fear, Peter puts it, and Paul also. But reaching people, you know that. Our part, what am I doing? Am I doing my part? Hopefully get into more of this a little bit next week. But doing my part, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. First and foremost, having the right perspective, having the right motivation, having a good testimony. And that's reaching other people. That's our primary goal. We've got to reach more people. And we don't always do our best. I know I don't. I don't always pass a track out to every single person I come into contact with. It's difficult to do. I don't always do my part, maybe in having a right testimony and good testimony if you've driven in this town or in Albuquerque any length of time, right? But you can and I can. We can do it by way of the first point tonight of reaching the lost for Christ. Paul says there, listen, folks, get your eyes off of me Get your eyes off of Apollos. Get your eyes off of the self-motivation, if you will, of the self, a man-pleasing, and get on me. Get focused on me, on Christ, he says. Get focused on Christ, on what he wants for you, and remember you're a laborer together with Christ, laboring together. Do you know if we all thought of ourselves as a laborer, it'd dissipate a lot of pride and problems, wouldn't it? I'm just a laborer. Yeah, but they mistreated you. Nobody recognized what you did at church Sunday. I'm just a laborer here. I'm just a laborer. Nobody notices what you're doing. Nobody sees how you pray. Nobody sees how you maintain a good testimony by yourself in the car. I'm just a laborer. That's all I am. I don't want any credit. I'm with Paul. No, I'm with Apollos. He's better than Paul. He's a little more sharp than Paul. No. Keep your eyes on him and remember your labor together. All right, I'll stop there. But you think about, do you have the right motivation? Do you have a good testimony? We have the right methods. We have all that we need. You follow the Bible, you'll be just fine. I encourage you this week, spend time in your Bible. Again, spend time in your prayer and take time with that. Keep your eyes on him. There'll be opportunities this week to look to man and impress man and want to impress man and want to know if they're pleased with what you said and how you feel and if they like you, if they don't like you. That's the hardest part sometimes. Get away from that. Get focused back on the Lord. And the best way to do that, I said this morning, spending time in this book. Even though you don't feel like it, too tired, you're not very motivated, it will center you and get you back where you need to be. Amen. All right. Lord, thank you for an opportunity here tonight and just praising you for your grace. As we look ahead, Lord, we're so encouraged by what you're doing. You know, just to think about that you're concerned with us, you care about us, sometimes we forget about that. And you've brought some opportunities our way recently, Lord, and we look at that and go, thank you, because we see that you're at work. You care about us. You love us, and you want to see us fulfill your will. And that's what I want, Lord, and I know our people want. I ask that you'd help us this week. And whatever the outcome would be, we trust you and we look to you and we'll continue on. We'll be here next Sunday, Lord, if you'll allow it, and we'll be faithful to you. Help us as we think about tonight, this first part of doing our part. First and foremost is reaching others. Give us the strength to do that, Lord. And you know how each of us can handle it and what our talents are, our good qualities, and also our shortcomings. And Lord, we ask you to guide us and help us, please. Lord, thank you again for a wonderful day in your house and be able to fellowship, Lord, with each other. We ask you to guide and lead us now as we go our separate ways. Protect us this week. In Jesus' precious name again, and amen. Thank you.